Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may find yourself, and welcome to Tango Alpha Lima. I'm Mark Seavey, an Army OEF veteran and your host for the Tango Alpha Lima podcast. This podcast is produced by the American Legion and is geared towards the issues, stories, and interests of today's generation of veterans. The stories on Tango Alpha Lima podcast will inspire, educate, and entertain you. On today's episode, we're going to be talking with Jeremy Field, the assistant editor of the Media and Communications Division that handles all of our American Legion baseball. And we're going to be talking about Lee Smith, the soon-to-be Hall of Fame pitcher. Now, he did play for my beloved Red Sox from 1988 to 1990, but unfortunately at that time was when I started military school and then went into the Army and thus did not have a television set. So I missed most of his career. But I'm very excited to hear about your conversations with him. And from what I've been able to divine so far, he seems like a heck of a good guy.
Yeah, it was great to meet him. Thanks for having me, Mark. It was great to meet him on multiple opportunities. We had him up in Cooperstown for an American Legion Centennial event in March, which was hosted by the Department of New York, which was a great event where he was the guest of honor and he gave a Q&A with fans in attendance. But as you said, he had a long career, 18 years in the majors. He retired as the all-time saves leader, and he won three Rolaids Relief Awards for best relief pitcher in baseball.
Now, back then, a relief pitcher actually had sort of it wasn't quite the specialty role, and it wasn't quite as glamorous as it is today, right?
Yeah, far from it. He had some problems in the relief role. He didn't want to be a reliever. He wanted to be a starter. So when he moved into the reliever role, there were some bumps, but he ended up in the Hall of Fame, so it couldn't have been that bad. So.
He sure did, and he joins a pretty good list of people who have recently gone into the Hall of Fame from that reliever role, and it's good to see those people get their due props.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had the opportunity to talk to him, and when we were at the Hall of Fame, he was talking about how much he was looking forward to the induction this weekend.
The big thing with me, all of those people out there, you know, it don't seem like you're in New York. You're like, man, I'm at home. You know, I'm hanging out with all my buddies, you know, that weekend. I know it's going to go by fast. I know it's going to go by really fast. When I went to back up to Cooperstown, did this thing with American Legion, they looked it up, how many guys that played Legion Bowl that was in the Hall of Fame. It was like 81.
Wow, it's on this page.
Yeah, of the 200 and some guys that that were in the Hall of Fame. Now, I finally made out holding the lineup.
Yeah, it's funny he says that he's holding the lineup. He's not going to be the only American Legion player up there on Sunday. He's going to be joined by three other former American Legion players.
That's great. So there's 81 counting himself and the three. Who are the three others?
It's Harold Baines, Roy Halladay, and Mike Mussina.
Oh, that's definitely a nice list of people to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. The list of the 81 former American Legion players in the Hall of Fame is pretty incredible. So when we were up there in Cooperstown and he got to see that list, he was reminded of his time playing American Legion baseball, and we had the idea to bring him back to his old field where it all started. So we got the son of his former coach, Gary Morgan, as well as his former catcher, Charlie Cockfield, and his wife, Diana, also joined, and we went back to his field where it all started.
Hey, but John, I didn't know as old as I'm getting. Hell, I didn't know what I threw that far. I didn't know the rubber was that far back.
I don't think you got a rubber on there now.
But dude, this thing, don't it look small?
60 feet, 6 inches.
Don't it seem like this ballpark is small? What are the dimensions on that thing? Well, I guess it seems small when you're pitching, but not hitting, huh? Wow. But maybe coming back just to see it still standing, man. And because when we started talking about it, we were talking about the 100th anniversary of the American Legion, and I'm like, man, I played American Legion ball. Then they found out how many guys actually were in the Hall of Fame that played Legion ball. And just to come back and see it still standing, boy. Oh, man, this is awesome.
That strikes me as a prototypical response of a relief pitcher, too, to look at the field and go, man, this looks small.
Yeah, like you said, when he was hitting, it probably felt huge, but when you're on the mound, everything finds a hole,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was out there looking at the dimensions and wondering how many he was going to give up on that field, I think. Now, was he a bit of a child prodigy, like a LeBron James type that got recruited by a specific Legion post to compete, or how did he manage to get into American Legion baseball?
I bet when you ask, you know, most of the Hall of Famers, they were all the best player on their team forever, but he got cut from his local team.
Wow.
So the way American Legion baseball works is you have to play for your closest team, and if you don't make that team, they allow you to go to the next closest team. So he got cut by a team that probably regretted that later, but he told me the story about it.
I was throwing.
Yeah, he was very raw.
Yeah, I was just throwing, but
well, we all were raw.
Yeah.
I was just
man, but dude, we had guys we had guys from like all over the place because me and Danny Myers started trying to play in Minden. And we couldn't even make the team, man. We didn't ever get to play. And so I'm like, I'd start hauling back, going like hauling wood. My dad hauling hay during the summer. And then Danny said, hey, man, I think we can get on Mr. Morgan because his dad owned that little pool hall there in Castor. And he's like, man, I think I can help you get on with the team down in Natchitoches. I'm like, well, let's go for it, man.
Now, these teams are in Louisiana, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you can tell from the voice there that he is a good Southern guy. Now, you actually had a chance to talk to the coach's son, who was also the ball boy, or the bat boy, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yep. And here's how Gary told that story.
All I remember is that, I wasn't up with the bat boy, but was the coach called Daddy. And he said that they wanted to come play. Daddy says, Coach, he says, my team's already made. He says, but, I've never turned a kid down from trying. He said, I tell you what, you bring them up there, and I'll be honest with you if they can either play for me or not. Mm-hmm. Yep. He said, well, if they make it, he says, if they make it, I can get them to the practices and I can get them to the game. But he said, mm-hmm. I can't get them home. Uh-huh. And yep. So Daddy says, well, you just bring them up there. I remember you were catching. Mm-hmm. And Daddy said, because he was a catcher.
Yeah.
Came with you. But what I remember, the batting machine was over here. And it was the old arm, you remember? And I had to sit there and hold the wire to be able to take batting practice. And that Daddy said, I heard him. He's out here pitching and something. Said, that must be our guys there. And if I remember, y'all were in a doodle bug.
Oh, yep. We had an orange.
And he got bug. Out, and he had ankle weights on, and I'd never seen him before, the guy with you.
Oh, man, that's
He got out of the back seat, and I said, man, this guy ever going to get out? He got out.
Whoa.
And he came around here and came up and introduced him to Daddy. And he said, son, you the catcher? He said, yeah. He said, Charlie, take your stuff off, get your bat, you're going to hit. And he said, son, let me see what you got.
That is
and
awesome.
I'll never forget, he threw three pitches, and the coach was standing beside Daddy. He said, Coach, he got a ride home. Don't worry about it.
That's a great story. It's kind of like a Forrest Gump thing when he first starts to run. You can just imagine that the coach's eyes must have lit up when he saw him out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And for Lee, it was a relief, too, because he was looking for a team. And he was already 50 miles away at that point. That drive from Castor down to Natchitoches is quite a ways. So if he had to go any further, if he didn't make that team, who knows, he might have never played baseball.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that would have been a shame.
Yeah, so he told that story a little more at the Q&A in Cooperstown.
One of the first people to call me was my catcher from my American Legion team, and Mr. Charlie Cockfield. I started out in a little town of Minden, Louisiana, playing Legion baseball. And sad to say, I wasn't good enough to make that team. So me and a buddy of mine, Danny Myers, we decided, hey, man, we're going to look at some more American Legion clubs that's somewhat close that I could play for. So we ended up going to Natchitoches, Louisiana, and I get there, and the first day I'm looking at the team and I'm looking at guys, and I'm like, man, Danny, I don't think we're gonna be able to make this team either. So I get out there and I'm like, probably 6'4" and a half, but I'm gonna go with 180. So I'm all arms and legs. So the guys, hey, we want to see you throw the side. So I'm a little nervous. I get back and I throw, and he say, I like what I see. So we're gonna it's like a Tuesday. So we're gonna let you start Friday. One of our weakest teams, so we don't see what you got. I'm like, fine, man, I'm good. So we go out at my first start, and I never forget, my grandmother went to the game, and she tells my coach, she says, Coach, I want you to not take my baby out soon. I want you to make sure you leave him in there. And I'm like, Grandma, I don't think that's got anything to do. Got your pants suit ain't got nothing to do with the coach and me staying in the game. I think it's going to have a lot to do with me and the other team. It's going to have a lot to do with that. So I end up pitching 7 innings of shutout ball. And I'm like, man, I like this.
That's pretty awesome. You got to wonder what would happen if you got shelled, whether Grandma would have come out of the stands yelling at the coach, or what would
have
happened.
I'm glad we didn't have to find out.
Yeah.
So Lee played for 2 years of American Legion baseball, and it didn't take long for people to find him. You know, talent like that spreads pretty quickly, and even in the olden days without internet to find everyone. So Lee told us a story of how he got found, and he wasn't even destined for Major League Baseball even when he was a Major League talent.
I actually said I was going to play college basketball. So, and Buck O'Neill, after that one game, Buck O'Neill, I don't know how he did it, but he found our schedule, And so many people from the South know that, in that time when baseball season starts, it started raining a lot. So we have games that would get postponed or go from one town to the other. And Buck started looking after me. And he came up, I never forget, we played sandlot ball. So we get out there, and Buck O'Neill comes up, and he says, I'm looking for a young man named Lee Smith. Catching, because that was my first love. I wanted to catch. And he go up there, and he see me catching this game. I don't have on shin guards. And he's like, we back in the day in the country, you know, you forward part of the uniform, we leave the glove out there. And so I'm catching it, and Buck's come up. He said, hey, man, game over. I'm like, what do you mean? We got to play. This is like the fifth inning. He's like, hey, we talking to the Cubbies about drafting you. And I'm like, the baseball? And he was like, yeah, we want you to play baseball for the Chicago Cubs. And I actually went, and if some of the older people here might know some of the Milwaukee Braves and guys like that. So there was a couple of other guys that played in that era that actually talked to me about this. And I really talked to Buck. Buck followed me from the rest of my senior year, and the rest is history.
Yeah, so he had the opportunity to meet Buck O'Neill, who was a famous Negro League player and manager, and then turned out to be the first African-American coach in Major League Baseball. So having a guy like that come down and tell you you're ready for the major leagues must have been big.
Yeah, I mean, same sort of thing happened to me in high school when I got recruited, only they said, I hope you're good at math because it's not going to be a sports scholarship. But it's always nice to have, pro scouts that actually notice you at a American Legion game. And I suspect that's a lot more prevalent now that we have the ESPN TV rights and things of that nature. I imagine that it's a lot easier for an American Legion baseball player to actually get the attention. It's kind of amazing that, you know, that Buck was able to find him in this small town in Louisiana.
Yeah, absolutely. The lengths that scouts had to go through to get players back then was unbelievable. But when talent is, you know, that prevalent, it's found. So
especially in baseball, where you can find, the talent in the box score for the most part, it's going to show up in the actual statistics.
Absolutely. Seven innings of shutout ball with 10 strikeouts.
It's going to look nice in a local newspaper.
Absolutely. So when the scouts came calling, it's obviously good for Lee, but it wasn't necessarily always perfect.
Batting. He kept looking over, seeing these guys every inning, and they'd come over and want to talk to Lee Arthur. Finally, Daddy told him, said, if I see you over here again, I'm going to have you arrested. You can have him after the game, but not till then.
Yeah, I remember the guy at the Dodgers. Goes, the one guy for the Dodgers, when they had this kid Cliff was pitching, and they was like, who's the other guy? So they started dropping the other guy on me. Yes, the other guy got drafted by the Cubs. Because Miles is mostly basketball. Yeah, I did. Matter of fact, and I had already signed a scholarship to play basketball. And then the Cubbies drafted me. And then I'm like, after about 3 years in the minor leagues, I'm like, I ain't going away with this. And I thought that, hey, I'm going to go back and play college ball. And I came back and played basketball here at Northwestern. But I guess I had a better fastball than a jump shot.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah. Who really knows what he could have done as a basketball player? He told me that he actually thought he was a better basketball player his whole career. Even once he made the major leagues, he thought he was a better basketball player. But hey, if he's a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Tony Romo won a golf tournament this weekend. Maybe he chose the wrong sport too.
Yeah, multi-sport athletes. Not as common as they used to be, but sounds like Lee had the opportunity to do so. So he talked a little bit more about the whole Buck O'Neill experience and how he got out of rural Louisiana, which was quite an accomplishment for someone at his in his time.
You know, Buck O'Neill, he just stayed over looking for me, man. So that gave me a different outlook on, you know, what Buck O'Neill had to go through back in the day. You know, not being able to stay in the hotels and how things have changed and stuff like that. And I think probably Louisiana was one of the tougher states, you know, in the South back then. But I had fearlessness that I had, like, as a kid in high school, you know, that I wouldn't allow to come to the school to play because of my color and stuff like that. And I still think my ex-wife, she would like, how the heck you go back and talk to those kids at those schools that didn't allow you to play? I'm like, them kids wasn't born, you know? Those kids wasn't born when that went down, you know? And they had games that were forfeited at their schools because they didn't want me to come there and play. But they would come to us when it came to the playoffs. But I never, every one of the schools, I made it my point to go back and, you know, and I'm like, you know what? These kids probably got a picture of me in their room. You know, those things that happened back in the day, you got to let it go.
What a great attitude. And just, you know, it's inspirational to see someone come out of a small town. And I think all of us root for something like that. And particularly those of us that have grown up in sort of a more post-racial or an area that wasn't quite as problematic as Louisiana back in the 50s when he was born. It's just so great to hear that story. Is he legit just this good a guy?
Yeah, his wife Diana is with him all the time. She came with us to Cooperstown and with us to the field, and she sometimes has to pull him away from talking to strangers and signing autographs and things like that. He just wants to be everyone's friend. He's happy for his situation. He's happy as a platform to do good for others. And I mean, even we went to a restaurant after we went to the field, and just people kept coming up to him and thanking him for something that happened years ago, or something that he's done and contributed to their family.
It's a very kind of me. Years and years and years and years and years and years. I was in the jewelry business, and my uncle was a big fan of this. He was part of us than anybody. And he signed the back of my business card and wrote something sweet to him. He was buried. It was in his coat pocket.
Mom's proud of him. His grandma was proud of him with his 7-innings pitch. I would imagine at this point, most of Louisiana is proud to have him as a native son.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's inducted in the Louisiana State Hall of Fame, which is in Natchitoches, which we went to after the field. And it was amazing walking around and seeing all the names up on there. But with all the names up on there, there are a lot of football, a lot of basketball. There weren't very many baseball players on there. So for someone like him to get out of Louisiana and make the major leagues was pretty mind-blowing for him. But to make the Hall of Fame is even crazier.
In the history of Louisiana, less than 5 people have made the Major League Hall of Fame.
You're one of them. I just started thinking about it, man. I'm like, wow.
What's your first reaction hearing that?
Hey, especially thinking where I came from, too, because Lou Brock's, his hometown might be smaller than where I came from, man. But I just, now you put that in a proportion now where you look at it, you know, like, man, that's really amazing. I didn't think of that, you know, but it's like, you just look at, you know, that, like I said, the way around the thing of, like, where you come from, where you played, and what level you got to. Because, you know, I thought it was really, really amazing me to get to the minor leagues, because I had no idea what I was doing, you know, as a pitcher. I was throwing. But just all the other stuff, man, just starting to fall into place now.
You know, I think American Legion baseball is prevalent as it is, and certainly in some areas. I think sometimes we suffer from people not realizing that it's part of the American Legion. They hear Legion. Legion baseball, but they don't think American Legion. And it's really great to have an advocate like Lee talking about what we've done and mentioning the centennial and going to American Legion Day. He really seems to put a lot of stock in how his career went later as a sign of how he started off with the American Legion. Am I accurate in that?
I think so. And now he coaches for the San Francisco Giants. So he gets to see how the young players relate. And he always talks about how things were different. It's not always bad. It's not like he's sitting on a stoop complaining about the kids of today.
But get off my lawn.
Yeah. He reflects positively on his experience because, like you mentioned, the American Legion sponsoring a baseball program is big for a lot of reasons, because there are a lot of opportunities for young people to participate in sports, and it's not always a comprehensive experience where you're learning about teamwork, sportsmanship, playing for a goal, playing for a trophy. There's some people who just do showcases where you just show up, throw your one inning, get in the car, go home. So he really appreciates his experience. And he's talked about how his team was more than a team to him.
Well, you know, Charlie, I think, too, the other thing is what we learned from each other after the game, that we talked about that strategy, not just before the game. When after the game, we talk about what happened now. And I remember seeing some major league player said, you know, when the team's now, they got 25 guys leaving 25 different cabs, you know, going different directions. And we came from all different walks of life. Everybody came from a different spot and half the guys, but they made sure that we got there because they knew we only had one car in the family, and these guys on the team would, like, come pick me up from work and come pick me up from home, you know, to make sure that I could get on the team. And there's a lot of games that I couldn't make, you know, because we had chores and jobs back in the day. But when they got this chance, but I think this young man here and his dad helped me out so much on actually getting to the game. And now, you know, everybody's got their own specialty of what they do. But I think after the games, I learned so much about, you know, learn how to pitch.
Well, it's a good thing he did learn how to pitch. I mean, he's obviously made an impact in the baseball community and obviously in this town in Louisiana as well.
Absolutely. And it's really great to hear these guys getting back together and talking about their roots because, you know, even with Facebook or social media nowadays, you don't always get to see your friends, especially when you all spread out. So having Charlie, who's kind enough to come up from Baton Rouge, and then having Gary, who lives in Natchitoches, there, it was really great. It was great to see them all connect and talk about all their teammates. They can rattle off the whole roster, give updates on everyone's families and things like that.
I think it's great that they actually got back to the field that they played on as well, which is, I can see how that would invoke a lot of memories from your days past.
Yeah, absolutely. It didn't seem familiar to them, but the memories came back.
The
dugout might not have been in the same spot. There was another field that used to be a wooded area, but none of it mattered when they stepped on the field and they remembered their old days.
The one thing about that American Legion team that night, we didn't as a team, you know, now I see just the team goes. The team, the family, everyone went to these places together and we talked and it became a family. So I look at those memories of me not as my teammate. When I talked to Charlie and all those guys, that wasn't my teammate, that was my family. And I think that really goes together with everybody having your back.
You know, there's a lot to be said for being a part of a sports team is a lot like being in the military. That, you know, I stay in really close contact with the guys I served with in Afghanistan. It would seem that being on a sports team that was of decent caliber anyway, I was always on cross country and wrestling, and those are kind of individual sports. But team sports like this, it's great to see that those friendships have endured for so long.
Yeah, a very common thing in baseball is when someone makes a mistake, the next guy just picks them up. You'll hear that chatter in dugouts all the time, pick them up. And that's something that really resonated with these guys, as you could tell, because they came from all over Louisiana, and it was racially divided at the time, and they treated their teammates like teammates. It didn't matter what color they were or where they were from. They had each other's back, and hearing Lee say, have each other's back and be a family, it's pretty incredible to hear from that time in Louisiana.
What a great honor, and I'm so glad for him and his family and the whole community that he's finally being honored in the Hall of Fame, and look forward to seeing it. And Jeremy, thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you've had a good time, and I hope we have you back on here soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Once again, thank you for joining us today. For more information on this podcast and other stories related to the post-9/11 veterans, visit the Tango Alpha Lima website at tangoalphalima.org. Once again, that's tangoalphalima.org. And be sure to like, share, rate, and review this podcast wherever you have found it.